Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a radically inclusive bike community. So join your hosts, I'm Ellen.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see.
And don't forget that all bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes,
ages,
races,
abilities,
genders,
sexualities,
and beyond. Come along for the ride.
There, we're recording. We remembered how.
Yay! Oh my God. It's been a summer.
It has been such a summer.
I made a whole list of my joys of summer, my lows of summer, some of my favorite rides, and then I just wrote film, double exclamation mark.
That's, I think, what we need to do. That's the list, is let's talk bikes.
Yeah.
And then let's talk film. Didn't I send you like a big old list too? No, that's just for a normal chat.
Oh, I was like, I don't think so.
This is what it is. We have an actual document. That's what I don't have pulled up.
Oh, but I don't think I actually put anything in the document.
Okay. You're just keeping shit in your head.
Well, that's why I wrote down. I physically wrote it down. Some brainstorming.
It means it'll be fresh. Whatever you hear come out of my mouth will be live.
Yes.
Unfiltered.
Did you listen to Maintenance Phase yet?
No. I started to. The one episode or any of it?
Any of it.
No.
You need to.
I am, what I've realized, I'm really a big fan of Yap in My Trap on my own podcasts, but I don't actually listen to podcasts.
Okay. I mean, I'm kind of the same way, to be honest. I listen to a lot of like investigative journalism and like deep reporting, but I don't listen to people yap on podcasts, which is what I like doing. So
fair enough. What made you think of Maintenance Phase though?
Because at the beginning of each episode, they introduce themselves. And I think that's something we should do.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though I don't remember if we do it in the intro or not, but I think it would be good for us to get in the habit of introducing ourselves.
We might do it in the intro. I think we just say I'm Marley and I'm Ellen.
Yeah.
So. But well, now people who are listening for sure won't know who I am.
Yeah. So I'm Marley Blonsky. I am the co-founder and executive director of All Bodies on Bikes.
And I'm Ellen Schwartz. I'm the co-host of the podcast and producer of the podcast and general enthusiast for bicycles.
Yeah. And we are coming at you with an end of summer episode of All Bodies on Bikes.
Hooray.
And you might be thinking, end of summer? You didn't do any episodes during the summer. And you are correct.
Yeah.
We were busy living life.
Right. Part of our intro should have been, we are two normal humans who have day jobs.
Are we normal though?
I'm
definitely not normal.
We're two
awesome.
We're two awesome.
Almost 40 somethings. Are you almost 40?
Yeah, I remember we're like almost exactly the same age.
Oh, yeah. Who are really busy living life and not actually doing the things that they're supposed to be doing.
We're two Geminis who like long walks on the beach.
I actually
and
don't.
Made our summers all about that. Oh, boy, I do.
I like long bike rides, but right now walking hurts my body so much. My knee is still giving me trouble.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I know. It's really hindering my life right now.
That makes sense. Is it okay on the bike, though?
Yeah, it's okay. But as soon as I start trying to like push it or like go uphill, it's really problematic. And my doctor doesn't seem to believe me that it actually hurts. He's like, well, if you can ride unbound, you don't need a knee replacement. And I'm like, I did it in pain the whole time.
Right.
So.
This is the knee that has not been replaced or you've only had surgery?
I've only had surgery on my meniscus twice. I haven't had a knee replacement, but that's what I'm going for.
I see. That's wildly frustrating that they're just sitting there saying, well, you did it. So no, you don't.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So they said I need to wait like 10 more years. And I'm like, but my quality of life now is not where I want it to be.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Why do they think there needs to be an age limit?
Because apparently when you go bionic, they're, the parts only last for a certain amount of time, which makes sense. But and like they know that like if I did one now, I'd need one again in 10 to 20 years. But I'm going to, if I do it now or in 10 years, like just let me live the life I want to live right now. Well, I've got the energy and the money and the time. And
so are they banking on if they give you a knee replacement when you're closer to 50, maybe you'll just be dead by the time you're 70?
I think so.
Jesus.
I know. It's really messed up.
That's very messed up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe I can find a new healthcare provider in Oregon. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, spoiler alert, I'm moving out of Arkansas. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Me too. I kind of made the decision randomly this summer.
This is, yeah. And maybe I'll just be the voice of the audience, because I feel like the last time you and I chatted, you were like, I'm leaning into Bentonville. I love the people here. I'm going to make it work.
And that is true. And then okay. I went on this epic road trip over the summer, which longtime fans will know I tend to do that in the summer. I like to go on like a 6-week trip and just get out of Arkansas because it's so hot. And this summer I found myself spending a lot of time in Portland and the surrounding areas and really just felt at home here and kind of developed a little group of friends and a community. And when it was time to leave, I realized I don't want to leave. I don't want to go back to Bentonville. I don't want to go back to Arkansas. And it's like, I could have continued to make life work in Arkansas. You know, I had really started to develop some good friendships, some deep community there, but it would have been making it work. I wouldn't have been happy. You know, it's just, it's not my place at the end of the day, which sucks. But I feel I'm proud of myself. You know, I took the risk 3 years ago and I tried it and I really had a good time sometimes and had a bad time sometimes.
Sure.
But I've been in Portland now. So fast forward, basically, my road trip was over. I went back to Arkansas, was kind of living life, having a good time. And then Daisy Mae died, which was definitely the low point of my summer. I know. RIP.
Daisy Mae.
I know. But she lived such a good life. She was 16, maybe. We don't really know how old she was. And so once she was gone, there was really nothing tethering me down to Bentonville anymore. And kind of around the same time, I had a good friend, a new friend, but a good friend up here in Portland. Her wife was hit by a car while riding her bike and really bad. She's still in the hospital. It's not a good situation, but basically they own a shop called The Athletic, which is primarily a sock shop, but they have like other athletic type things there. And Jess was running the store every day and now she's in the hospital. And so can't exactly run the shop. And so their community really stepped up in like the week or two after the crash and was like, you know, they had volunteers coming in, but you can't run a business with all volunteers. And so I was talking to Vanessa, Jess's wife, and was like, hey, would it be helpful if I came up there and just kind of ran things for a month while you figure out what's the long-term strategy? And she was like, absolutely. So that's where I've been. I've been up here for the last 3 weeks now, bike commuting every day, kind of like pretending like I already live in Portland. But I have to go back and get all my stuff still.
Do you? Or do you just say like,
say let it go?
That's right.
I mean, I am very, very tempted, but all my bikes are there except one. My car is there. My bed that I really like is there. So I'll go back and get all that stuff. Plus, there's a couple events that I just need to like wrap up that chapter, you know, say goodbye to people. I'd like to leave on a high note instead of just like skipping town right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is nice. I will agree with that. The temptation to just burn it all down feels
real.
Very real when you start to move. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But oh, yeah.
You will be glad to have your stuff ultimately.
I think so. And I'll be happy to like really, I don't want to say close out those relationships because I hope that a lot of them will continue, but at least like put a nice little bow on it, give people some good hugs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And congratulations on kind of some finality, I think, in this piece of your life.
Thank you.
I think you were going to struggle with it no matter what.
I think so too. You know, and it's, I don't know how much I want to get into this on the show, but it became especially evident these last couple months as there was this huge mural debacle happening in Bentonville. Did you keep up to date on any of that?
I kept loose ties on it. I know enough people with ties to Bentonville who were posting about it. And it sounded like, I mean, it's kind of a good example of when bikes and politics cannot be
separated.
Separated. Yeah. I was going to say unintertwined.
Yeah.
But yes, separated. Yeah.
Yeah. So for folks who aren't in the know, you should go look it up. But the too long didn't read version of it, there was a rad nonprofit. There is called All Bikes Welcome that does programming primarily for Black, Indigenous, people of color, gender nonconforming folks, you know, for a marginalized community. And they painted this beautiful mural that said all, well, they and a local artist painted this mural that said all bikers welcome. And then we started hearing rumblings of complaints to city council, and it turned into this whole debacle over a couple of colors that somebody claimed looked like the transgender flag. Which facts are facts. It was not the transgender flag. The colors might've been reminiscent of it, but it definitely wasn't. It finally ended up in front of the city council, where the bigots who didn't want this had to say the quiet part out loud. And then they hid behind another argument about advertising. But the reason I bring all this up is because it really showed me who in Bentonville, in this like most welcoming bike place ever, is truly fighting the good fight. I mean, there was definitely a lot of folks from the community who came out and stood up for this nonprofit and like made their voices heard. But there were a lot of voices that were conspicuously silent. So I don't know. I'm glad to get out of there. I'm happy to be going to a place where like a bus passed me yesterday that was like decked out in the pride colors, including the trans flag. Like, I'm just happy to go to a place that it's like doesn't have their panties in a wedgie over colors of a flag.
Yeah, it's hard to stay and fight the fight when the fight is very exhausting. I go back and forth on this a lot, too. There's just fight after fight after what feels like stupid fight to me, because it's obvious what the right things are. And so it's kind of, it's a back and forth in your head of, do you stay here and try to make this place better, which is stressing you out? Or are you better off somewhere that you can have better mental health and therefore do different things in a different way, like support everything in another way?
That's not to say that Portland is perfect. You know, I've been here 3 weeks and I've already, you know, seen some things and gotten involved and learning what is going on, but they're fighting bigger fights here. And, you know, Walmart doesn't have a chokehold on the local economy. You know, people aren't afraid to speak up because they're afraid that they'll piss off Uncle Tom and Uncle Stu. I guess my gloves are off and I'm willing to talk really openly and honestly about Bentonville, but that can be a whole nother episode.
Let's do that in a completely different episode. Yes. Because I think it is worth talking about. We can rip the top off of that can of worms for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we should do some research on that before I just like go spouting off my opinions.
Yes.
Bikes were a big part of my summer. I don't know about you. Were bikes a big part of your summer?
They were less of a part of my summer than I felt like they had been in the past. Like, I went on this trip to Europe a bit last minute, and I think I wound up being in a car more than I had been, like, almost the entire time I lived there.
Oh, interesting. Which was,
I thought so, too. And it wasn't because we were in places that didn't have transit or didn't have cycling. It was just, like, the things we chose to do required a car. And by the time I got to, our final stop was in Malmo, Sweden. By the time we got there and we borrowed a friend of a friend's cargo bike to just bike around and tootle around, I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, why don't we move here? But I think in contrast to your move, it's a bit of grass is greener. It's a bit of like trading one thing for another.
Right. Well, I went to Europe this summer and also thought many times, why don't I just move here?
Yeah. It's so tempting.
Yeah. Although it's funny because in the spots that I was in, they were not necessarily meccas of cycling. And I need to be like totally full disclosure here. I went on a paid trip, as in they paid me to go with EF Adventures. We went to the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift. And so we spent 4 days in Provence, which you cannot say Provence without sounding hoity-toity. So we spent 4 days riding bikes in Provence, and then we spent 4 days, maybe it was five, I don't know, riding bikes in the French Alps and following behind the Tour de France Femmes, which was so incredibly cool. And it really opened up a whole new world of road biking to me. It made me realize why people like road biking so much, because we were on these like epic climbs. Like I did Mount Ventoux, which is like a historic climb. And I was like, oh, I understand why people do this now, because it really was that special and that beautiful. And honestly, the day that we climbed Mount Ventoux was probably my favorite day ever on a bicycle that I've ever had.
That's saying something.
Yeah. And it wasn't. Wow. So we basically climbed up Ventoux, which was a 15-mile climb, about 7,000 feet of elevation. I was on an e-bike, which helped immensely. I don't think I would have said it's my favorite day on a bike if I didn't have that e-bike. But once we came down, we went down the backside of Ventoux to this place called Salt, and then another place called Gorge, I think, or Gore. I always get it wrong. Anyway, like, have you ever seen the like photos or paintings of Provence with just like the fields of lavender as far as the eye can see?
Yes.
That's where we were at. It was so magical. And it was like a 20-mile descent, I think.
Oh my gosh.
It was, and I, it was, which was good because I was trying to save battery. After climbing Vaughan 2, I had like 8% battery. And it was funny. I was like, you know, should I get in the car? Because there was always a support van with us. And I was like, should I get in the car? Should I ride? My period started that day. And great. I was like, no, I'm going to ride. And then, you know, if I run out of battery, I'll just hop in the car. Well, at the very end of that day, it was like a 60-mile day. The last 5 miles were uphill again. And my battery died. And I was like so pissy. Because I was like, if my battery's dead, I want to be in the van. This bike is heavy. It's hot. Yes. I'm on my period. And so I just like got into this really negative headspace. And then as I was climbing up this hill, I look up and there's like this, it looked like a fortress wall with grapes coming down over the side. And I was like, Marley, get your head out of your ass. You're in France riding your bicycle. Like, so what if your battery died? Like, enjoy it. And by the time I got up to the top of the hill, I was just like so happy and was in a completely different headspace. And just like, I actually had conversations with my body. I was like, just like saying thank you out loud. And like, I like got to a point where I like apologized for all the years when I had like treated my body like crap and just like, thank you for letting me continue to do this thing. But I don't know. Long story short, I got into a really good place in my head and was just really grateful that my body lets me do these cool things.
I mean, it is, you've done a lot of mental training to get yourself there, but I love that you were able to turn it around even in the moment. Because like in the moment is like, it's what you've been training for.
Exactly. Right? And that's what I was excited about. And like, you know, when I was in that kind of negative headspace, I hate being in a negative headspace, like even in my day-to-day life. But, you know, sometimes it's necessary, but it just would have been such a waste to be on this like trip of a lifetime and be like, ah, I'm so angry the van isn't here. Like, no, ride your bike. This is stunning.
I like that the grapes were the thing.
Yeah, they just appeared and then I ate a bunch and they were really
good. You did?
Oh, yeah. I probably wasn't supposed to, but I totally did.
That's amazing. That makes it the most Marley story, I think, that could have happened.
And then we got to the top and there was like a little village. And of course, I was the last one up. Like, there was a theme of the trip. Like, even though a lot of us were on e-bikes, there were a couple folks on the trip that weren't on e-bikes. And regardless, I was always the last one. And I think I figured out, like, I have the capacity to ride at the pace everybody else does. I just don't want to. Like, I really like going slow.
I love that.
So anyway, I make it up to the top and everybody's like, oh my God, yay, you did it. I was like, did you guys see the grapes? And everybody was just like, no, that was the hardest hill of my life. I just put my head down. And I was like, you got to lift your head up because that's where the grapes are at.
That's right. What a metaphor. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was, man.
Taking it slow means you see the grapes.
Yes. And actually, you know what's funny is we were in, I think it wasn't Avignon, it was Saint-Rémy de Provence, one of the other fancy places. We were there and we had a tour guide who was telling us about, you know, the connection to Van Gogh and, oh, this is a church steeple that's in Starry Night. It was really, really cool.
That is cool.
But she was saying in the south of France, as I was saying, that's like slowly in the morning and not too quickly in the afternoon. And I was like, that is a perfect metaphor for my life.
I like that very much.
Yeah.
Just kind of, it reframes everything. It lets you go at the right pace for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides Europe, what did you get up to?
Well, that's a great question. I had a very normal, like, Midwestern summer. I was running family bike ride here in Kansas City. And then, yeah, you know, just got back from a protest like you do in the year of our Lord 2025.
In America.
In America.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's been good.
I got to go on a bike bus the other day. Actually, I got to go on two bike buses in the same day. Ooh. Yeah, one was your elementary school where we started at one point and then went on a designated route and people joined throughout. It was so cute. There was probably 100 kids on this bike bus. It was huge.
That's amazing. Yeah. Was it like the famous one, the Coach Balto one?
I went on the Coach Balto bike ride and I did not make any content about it. Because I felt weird filming children that aren't mine.
Neither did he, right? Like, I feel like I would have seen if he was tagging you in these things.
He did tag me in one, but I don't know. It was kind of a weird morning. I do have some GoPro footage. I'm going to try and make something about it, but I still just feel weird having children that I don't know in my content.
That's fair. Yeah, I probably ask for consent first. Yeah. But
so
I love that. Yeah. Mainly because one of the things that I am going to be doing in this fall is helping schools plan their own bike buses. Cool. Because it's something that can happen in a lot of these neighborhood schools. You just kind of need someone who wants to do it and knows how to plan that route.
Yeah.
But I had gone to a coffee shop where I was going to do a different event for the family ride there. And I kind of was explaining what I do. And one of the, like, you know, college age baristas was just like, oh, like that bike bus on TikTok. And I was like, holy cow. Yeah. Coach Balto has made it big enough that this young person who's not really into cycling behind this coffee bar is just excited about it.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't her thing, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, so, the thing that blew me away about Coach Balto's bike bus was the simplicity of it. He had the leaders wearing bright yellow ponchos from Cleverhood. Which you can get those on the Cleverhood website. You can also get All Bodies on Bikes branded Cleverhoods, and we get a portion of those proceeds. Anyway, not the point. So he's got people in bright yellow ponchos who are like the ride leaders. And then he has a bunch of parents. You know, he encourages the parents to come if they can to help with like ride marshalling, and basically just riding on the outside of the group. And essentially they have adults cork traffic. They serve as corkers. And the ride just goes. Like there wasn't a big announcement at the beginning. He did have music. He did have all the kiddos because it was like the first one of the year. He did like, when I say bike, you say bus. And it was really cute. Like bike, bus, bike. It was very, very cute. But I feel like so many of these bike rides that we go on as adults are overcomplicated. And we spend so much time at the beginning talking. And this one, he was like, okay, we're going to school. And he was like, adults, don't let any cars in the group, you know, try and stick together as a group. Everybody's shoes are tied. Okay, here we go.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this is remarkably simple. Like,
yeah, there's definitely a keep it simple aspect of all of this stuff. He's been doing that for at least a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm hopeful that it's for him. It's like, this is his group. And there's like, kind of like what you talked about on group rides. It's a bit of like a buddy system, right? If someone's new, make sure that they know what's going on and they feel like they're ready to roll with you. And I wonder if that's happened like kind of ahead of time, or even if the kids are excited for their friends to be there and they'll
there were a couple folks that had like bike bus shirts on from their school that we went to. And so from what I understand, Coach Balto does it at a couple locations throughout the city. So the one that I was at, he does on Fridays, but they like do unofficial ones the other days of the week. And so the parents just like self-organize those, which is pretty cool.
That's my goal, right? It has to be supported by someone at the school. And I only have one child who attends one school. Right. And so like finding those advocates within those little micro communities of the elementary schools is what's going to keep everything sustainable. But so far, everybody has been super eager. And it's a bit of like a heck yes moment. And that's the reception I've gotten so far.
It's awesome because you get that success and then you can kind of snowball effect it to other schools.
That's my hope.
That is so exciting. Oh my gosh. I used to ride my bike to school and it was kind of a bike bus. There was like 10 of us in the neighborhood who would all just go together.
Yeah. That's the thing, is there's just been so much fragmentation, I think, because of school choice breaking up. Like, you don't go by default to your neighborhood school. You might go to a charter school. You might go to a specialty school. But that's where that closeness to your school is lost. But at the same time, there's going to be a group of people close enough to the school that where it's like, can we swap out your drop off, your car drop off for a bike drop off one day a week?
Yeah.
Actually, just like, get the kids moving, get fewer cars in the drop-off line.
Yeah, it's a win for everybody. And like riding your bikes makes you happy. Riding your bike makes kids happy. It's a great way to just get your body moving a little bit. And also, I had this conversation on the airplane on the way here about riding long distances. And this woman next to me was flabbergasted that I could ride 25 miles. And I think if you're not a cyclist, you don't look at distances the same way as somebody who rides bikes does. And like, kids are easily capable of riding 2 or 3 miles, like young kids, and it goes by incredibly fast. It's so much more efficient than walking. So I'm a fan.
And her shock, I don't think, is unusual to where even when I've been organizing these little rides in Kansas City, it's a bit of like partially to just prove to the parents that 1 mile suit, like you can walk it in 20 minutes if you're not even trying.
Right.
And so then on a bike, it just becomes boop. And so then, oh, that really was fast. What is near me? What could we be doing this on instead? And just that, I mean, like Missouri famously is the show me state. And so it's that showing that says, hey, you can do this and your kid can too. Like, give your kid that autonomy. There's an article that came out in The Atlantic over the summer.
Yes.
That was about how, like, kids, specifically kids, aren't riding their bikes anymore. And I think there's even then a second article about how what kids need to battle the anxiety that we're starting to see in young kids is more autonomy. How, as a parent, can you provide these things? That, to me, is one of the solutions, is to say, like, here's, you know, point A to B. It feels really long if you're in a car, if that's all you've ever done. But yeah, actually, your kid can be on a bike and make it this far on their own. So, like, for you, how can you make it doable for you?
That's so funny that you brought those two things up together, because I read both of those this summer. The second one was like an excerpt from this book, The Anxious Generation.
So my friend
Krista in Arkansas was telling about the autonomy thing. So one thing she was trying was letting her kids ride to bike camp by themselves.
Yeah.
And she said, it was really scary. And the first day she actually like went out and kind of hid along the route just to make sure. But she said like her kid, like it was amazing. Once she gave her kids the autonomy to do it, like they really proved her right. And they had a communication device. And I don't know, it's cool to see.
It is. And I will, I mean, obviously I am a parent and I very much empathize with this position that parents have been put in, which is that we understand you have to have autonomy, but we also know the world we live in. And so what is this like magical zone?
Yeah.
That comfort zone, like not a get out of your comfort zone, but a literal, how can I make this work zone, that is really hard to find. And our built environment and our society make that a pretty thin line.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited that she was able to figure something out. And that's again, like kind of what I think we can start encouraging that bigger community aspect of it, to where like part of what I want to do with the bike bus is say, it's like, as long as you're comfortable with me, like your kid can ride with me.
Yeah.
Like I will watch out whoever is under my care, you know, there's probably a limit to what I can do safely, but you know, then it just becomes a matter of adding parents. And how do we make that all work? So.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
I feel like I undersold my summer now that we've had such a good discussion. That's been a lot of what I've kind of been laying the groundwork for as the summer progressed, was to start figuring out how to kick these all off. So
when does that kick off for you? Are you starting it soon?
Starting it just kind of at various schools to figure out how to get the word out, honestly. So
yeah. Well, if you're listening to this and you're in the Kansas City area, you can reach out to Ellen@allbodiesonbikes.com. Is that right?
It's definitely a way to get a hold of me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's your email address, right? Ellen@allbodiesonbikes.com. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't completely sure what you were validating there. It's like, you gave me the address.
I know. I set it up.
I'm sure it's just my name.
I'm sure it is too.
My first name, I should say, because my last name. I try as much as I can to get my last name out of emails because it's a lot of letters.
That's so funny. Can I tell you a funny story about that? I will be a sponsored athlete by Shredly again next year. And for one of the pieces, she wanted my signature. And I have gotten so lazy with my signature over the last 30 years. And so I spent like probably 2 hours the other day just like working on my signature. And my last name has a lot of letters too. And I hate a cursive K. It like doesn't work. Funny. Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah. It's just like,
It has a lot of reverses
that
the other letters don't have to deal with. You're right.
Yeah. So
my name,
I can relate to having a lot of letters.
Oh yeah. My whole last name ties, fun fact, for the longest one syllable word in the English language, which is screeched.
Oh.
Has 9 letters, but one syllable in my last name because of that, the superfluous E at the end of it, 9 letters, one syllable.
Dang. Schwartz. Right? Schwartzy or Schwartz?
Just Schwartz. One
Schwartz.
Syllable.
Damn. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, my signature over the years just merged into like a bunch of up and down squiggles. Because Ellen is actually a super fun name to write in cursive.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah. I love a cursive L.
So now that they know how to forge our signatures, movie, video, film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So All Bodies on Bikes 2, Electric Boogaloo. That's not the name of it.
I wouldn't, like, this is maybe to a testament to how silly and fun loving you are, is I was sitting here like, maybe it is. Maybe it's got electric bikes at like front and center.
I'm trying to think if I ever ride an e-bike in the film. I don't think I'm on an e-bike at all during the film. Maybe a little bit of cargo bike, but I don't think so. No, the working title right now is Road to Joy. I don't know if that'll continue to be the title, but essentially, I feel like we talked about this back when we talked about the Five Borough Tour, but we have had a film crew with us for a lot of the summer. So
I think you're right. I think that we did talk about it, but not, we didn't, I think that was the first thing that you'd filmed. So
yeah. So this, the filmmaker followed along with us in New York, and then he, his team came down to Arkansas and filmed a bikepacking trip, which was really fun because Kaylee came to town for that. And it actually kind of reignited my love for bikepacking because I used to do it all the time. And then I just really haven't done it since I moved to Arkansas. But since that trip, I've gone twice more this summer. So I like, feel like I got my fill of sleeping outside this summer, which was one of my goals. So anyway, filmed in Arkansas. And then just a couple weeks ago, we wrapped up filming in Portland. There was a big show called Made, and it's like a handmade bike show. We did a group ride, and the film crew came out and filmed there. I saw the first 7 minutes of it, or at least like a rough cut. And I didn't know where the story was going to go, because it's like the first film told such a good story. Yeah. But it was like, how do we not just repeat this for the second one? But he's done a beautiful job of kind of integrating in the growth of All Bodies on Bikes. And I think the podcast actually does make an appearance in the film, which is pretty fun.
Oh my gosh. I'm very excited.
So that'll come out at some point this fall or winter.
Okay.
And the plan for that as of now is to do a very limited release. So basically we can tour with it. Kaylee and I can like go on trips with the film and screen the film, maybe make it a fundraiser for All Bodies on Bikes, give talks, whatever that might be. But then my book is also coming out this spring. Yeah, I finished writing it. We just got the final illustrations last week, starting to get the page layouts put together. And I'm really, really, really excited for this book.
You did share the cover art for the book. It looks so sweet.
I'm so excited about it. So the book is called Ragtag Best Friends Bicycle Club. And we can do a whole episode on this, maybe where we interview the illustrator and the publisher too, and not just the author. Me.
I mean, the author typically is who you talk to.
That's true. That's true.
We have an exclusive, what can I say? Exclusive interview with children's book author Marley Blonsky.
Oh my gosh. I read the story out loud the other day, just to myself to make sure like it flowed right. And the story is so sweet and so cute. And I think something that'll resonate with people of all ages, like kids will get it, but I think adults, especially anybody who's ever felt left out, I think will really appreciate it as well.
I mean, I contest that most children's books work on both children and adult levels.
And that was my hope. Like, because I, you know, when you like read a children's book and you're just like, oh, I don't want to read this one again. Like, no, Remy, we're not reading this one again. Yeah. But I hope this is one that kids reach for and the parents are like, okay, that sounds great. And then let's go for a ride.
Yeah. For us, the book that we hate is JJ the Jet Plane. It's terrible. Oh. Just FYI.
Okay.
So
don't buy that for nieces and nephews.
Don't do it. And it's like, it's the book that kept coming back. We kept thinking we'd hidden it and that we'd donated it, and it just never actually was. But there are other books that are delightful that we're like so happy to read over and over again. And I bet that it's going to fall into that category.
Yeah. Sorry if you heard a dog barking.
Who's your dog friend?
My dog friend's name is Pepper, and at the place I'm staying in Portland, she's 2, and she is like my best buddy. Every time I come home from work, she's just like tail wagging, so excited to see me. It makes me feel really good.
Yeah. Well, that's very wonderful. So yeah, film coming out, book coming out.
Moving to Portland, dating, like always.
We could have a separate podcast about that if you want.
We should. Have you ever heard the podcast Why Won't You Date Me by Nicole Byer? No. Oh my God. I need to steal her idea and do that because that's my life.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, you let me know.
Sounds good. I'm looking through my list. I made it. I'm going to show my list to the camera. This, my end of summer.
Is it crossed off?
No. Oh.
But did we make it through?
I'm going to cross off things now. So joys. Okay. Oh, my first one. We didn't talk about watermelon juice. So I discovered this summer that watermelon juice is one of my favorite things in the world.
Okay.
Trader Joe's has it for like $2, and it's literally just watermelon juice, and it hydrates so well.
So like the way that you would go get fresh squeezed orange juice, you can get fresh squeezed watermelon juice?
Mm-hmm. At Trader Joe's.
That does sound really refreshing. which I actually don't love watermelon, but it's a texture thing.
Oh, interesting. So you might like watermelon juice.
I might. Yeah. Yeah. It also sounds like a aguas frescas.
It's very similar. Yeah. Okay. What else on my list? I said bike packing. Again, we talked about bike packing, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I said driving, which is funny that I put that under the joys of my summer. But I really enjoyed my road trips this year. I actually stayed with a bunch of friends. So normally when I'm on a road trip, like, I don't want to inconvenience people. Like, I'm just staying for one night. And this time I was like, no, I'm going to say yes. And so I stayed with a couple of different folks. And it was so lovely to, like, reconnect with lots of friends all over the country. So that was fun.
I think that's my preferred way to travel. It's one of the ways that we wind up planning our trips is, like, who can we see? Who can we go to?
Yeah.
And I mean, we are really blessed to have friends who have that kind of open door, let us know policy. But we joked that our Europe trip, because it was so last minute, but because we have enough contacts and friends over there, I joked that it was my tour to France.
That's so fun.
Thanks.
Oh my God. No, I think after the summer, that is going to be my preferred way to travel as well, because you know, if your friends are opening their house to you, you're not imposing.
You're not.
Yeah. At all. And I love when people stay with me. So I don't know why I felt like such a burden, but it's just how my brain works.
100% one of the juxtapositions that I don't understand, but also do myself. Yeah. Like, if you were to say, I'm going to be in Kansas City at this hotel, and I'd be like, what the fuck, I have a spare room for you. But then similarly, when I am planning a trip, it's like, oh, maybe I'll just get a, maybe I won't ask.
Right. It's so silly.
Even though I would be thrilled if anybody said they would love to stay with me.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, listeners.
Okay. I have five more things, and I think we talked about all of them. So you can just say yes or no. Sleeping in tents.
Yes.
France.
Yes.
E-bikes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything more than like going up the, because it helped you have a nice time in France?
They're just awesome. I love them.
I do too.
That's all.
That's all I ride anymore. People keep asking, it's like, oh my gosh, you bike around in the hot and the this. And it's like, oh no. Like, yeah, I have a great time.
I'm excited for my cargo bike to get to Oregon because I've been riding my gravel bike as my like daily commuter. And while it's really cozy, comfy, I'm ready for like more upright electric cargo. Do you know how hard grocery shopping is with one pannier when you have ADHD and no plan?
I do, in fact, because I did that in London a couple of times. I bought a full, you know how you can buy the basil that's like, you know, this big, 1-inch by 2-inch little carton of it.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the whole plant and the cost difference is usually just a couple bucks. Yeah. Well, that made it home in a pannier.
Nice. I love it.
With who knows what all. I'll try to dig up the picture, but it's just like, oh, right.
It's honestly been really fun to like ride around town as a commuter again with a pannier. It like takes me back to my early days of getting into biking, and I don't have my car in Portland right now. And so like whenever I go anywhere, you know, whether it's on a date or I went to a comedy show the other night, I'm riding my bike or taking the bus, and it really just takes me back to an earlier phase of my life. And it's just, it's fun. It is.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
I don't like driving at all, but part of it is because like that's the only thing I can do when I'm driving a car.
Yep.
You can like, I know that's also where people listen to a lot of podcasts, probably a lot of you in your car now, thank you very much. Not what I default to, and so it makes me like, I get sometimes a little bit too angry about how much like I could be riding my bike, which is just fun on its own. Or like if I'm taking the bus, like I can be reading my ebook, or I can be working on something, or what, or looking around, right? You can just see the city. If you're not driving, you can look instead of watching to make sure you don't break rules and hit people.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, it's been a really good way to look at buildings and apartments, because I like ride by and I'm like, oh, they have a for rent sign. I'm going to call right now. And I think I might have already found a place to live. But anyway, that's not important.
Not that one. Okay. I will say we should have just like a cargo bike love fest, because that was where I borrowed a cargo bike in Malmo. And it was one of like the big, not front bucket like you have, but it's like the like tricycle.
Oh, yeah. Did you like that style?
I did. And it hauls a lot too. Like I was riding in the front, or my husband with our kid was riding in the front, or like my best friend with my kid. Like,
oh my God, so fun.
It became truly a car replacement. And because Malmo is so bike friendly, that's usually the fastest way to get around. And so it was just delightful. That's and it's so, so steady. There was this one moment. So Malmo's on the sea. my bestie and my kid and I had just gone to the shore and we jumped in the water and it was sunshiny and we'd bought ice cream and we're like on this bike path along the sea, tootling back to her house. And I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So if I think of the summer of 2025, I'm focusing on that moment.
That seems so delightful. I'm happy that you got to have that.
I am too. I'm really glad that we went.
Yeah.
But it does make me want to get a cargo bike like that.
I have two more things. Moving to Portland. We've already talked about that.
Definitely.
And then the last one, I don't think we talked about it, dating. I've had so much fun dating this summer.
Yay.
Yeah.
All over? All the cities?
All the cities. I find it's just like such a fun way to get to know people. And like, I'm always forthcoming of like, hey, I'm traveling through or I'm moving here or I'm leaving here. But like, I don't know. I'm not looking to get married. I'm just want like somebody to enjoy a meal with. And it's working amazingly well. It's been super, super fun, which I don't think most people in 2025 say they like dating. But I think everybody's too serious about it. Like, just go have a meal. Like, if you enjoy each other's company, do it again. Do it again. Oh, wait, now I'm going to touch your body. Because that feels good. I don't know. I think we overcomplicate things.
I think that's true. I think there's a lot of stress that's put on relationships most of the time.
Oh, yeah. That
once you can remember that it's just about two people enjoying, company, time, other things.
Yeah, exactly.
It does simplify it.
Although you probably shouldn't take dating advice from me because I've been single for like 5 years now.
It means that you have astronomically more experience dating than I do.
I've actually thought about writing a book about dating. Calling it like a decade on the apps because I have been on the apps for more than a decade.
Oh my gosh.
I have some really good advice and stories.
I was going to say, I think I would absolutely read the stories because that to me just feels like those are just going to be good stories, like good, just like human interest stories.
Yeah.
I will say, I understand now. It's like if you're trying to say it's advice that'll get you a full-time partner, then no. but
if you want to have a good time.
Yeah, that's, I think, maybe that's what you were trying to say this whole time. And it's just now like clicked into place for me is like, I think dating gets such a bad rap because so many people are trying to find the only end goal of long-term partner.
Yeah.
Long-term partner versus dating.
Yeah. And like,
enjoy dating.
Yes, I would love to find a long-term partner. But like you, at least in my experience, you cannot make that your sole focus.
Yeah.
Like you've got to enjoy each other's company before you go down that road.
I would very much agree with that. Please enjoy who you're sleeping with.
Oh, please. Oh my God. I read so many horror stories on Threads.
I believe it.
And I mean, I will also say I haven't slept with somebody in like over a year.
Oh.
I know.
That's a level of discipline that I maybe wouldn't have.
I've just realized that like bad sex is worse than no sex. Like I know how to get myself off.
Fair enough.
And I'd rather do that than like put up with somebody who's like not gonna like touch me in a way that I enjoy.
I was gonna say there's a fair amount of learning in those early stages too.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't want to teach, you want to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there can't be mutual enjoyment in teaching, but
this is All Bodies on Bikes After Dark. I don't know if this is going to make it to the podcast or not. Maybe this will be a special episode for our membership only.
Ooh, that would be good.
Which we should talk about that. We haven't talked about that in a long time.
I was going to say, we should talk about that because I'm going to take a lot of the podcasty stuff over to the Discord to say, what's going on? What is the word on the digital streets, so to speak, or even just what questions do you have? Or, hey, we know that this guest will be coming on and what questions would you ask them? And bringing the voice of All Bodies on Bikes audience into this podcast, as much as we've established that Marley and I are super duper good at chatting with each other. We want to make sure that it's something that you like listening to, that you're getting value from. And so we have a free Discord server where people are interacting and chatting and local groups are getting together.
Yeah. I was just looking at our website to remind myself of the like membership tiers. And so we have a $5 a month or $50 a year saves you 2 months of membership. So that's our cruiser membership. We have our Trailblazer membership, which is $10 a month or $100 a year and gets you a couple more benefits. And then we have our Pace Setter membership, which is $25 a month, $250 a year, which gets you even more benefits. We also have a free level, which basically gets you access to our online resources, which we are busy building out more of those resources right now. But that's a huge way to support All Bodies on Bikes. This podcast is an arm of All Bodies on Bikes, which is a 501c3 nonprofit supported by your donations. Folks have asked us, like, hey, can you do a Patreon? This is our version of the Patreon. Just go to allbodiesonbikes.com and you'll see all the details there. To wrap up the episode, Ellen, what are two things you are looking forward to in the fall?
I'm absolutely looking forward to setting up the bike buses. And I am very much looking forward to the cooler weather and getting cozy. I want to really like hoogie up my living room this year. I've not done a lot of like cozy-fying, so that is high on my list.
I love that.
What about you?
I'm very, very excited to move to Portland. The second half of my gravel season is starting, which is great because I haven't ridden gravel in like 2 months. It's fine.
It's fine. I'm not switching. It's fine.
I'm also looking forward to more regular podcast episodes and building our community. So it's going to be great. Thanks for chit-chatting with me.
Thanks for chatting with me. Bye.
Bye.